Open your Bibles, please, to the third chapter of John. In your Scofield Bible, page 1117. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, we'll read through verse 16. The 16th verse is that familiar verse. It's the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let's pray. And Father, it's possible that there are those here this morning who would rather be somewhere else. Most of us would rather be in no place other than where we are, right here in the auditorium of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the privilege of being here. And thank you for that which you've prepared for us through our preacher. Grant him by Spirit's power. Grant us alertness, attentiveness to the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
But he said if there were only one book in the Bible, and that were the third chapter of John, there'd be enough gospel in it to save the world. If there were only one verse in the Bible, and that were John 3:16, there'd not be enough gospel in it to save the world. This morning I'm going to preach on the subject, the Son. The Son. Those of you, and by the way, we're going to examine a little bit salvation this morning. This will not be our normal Sunday morning type message. Those of you who are saved will understand more completely how it happened. I've often said that salvation is something that happens in an instant, for that you spend eternity examining and learning. And so it is about the message this morning. Those of you who are already saved will find out more about what you did. And those who are not saved will find, as simple as you'll ever hear it, how to be saved. I don't care who you are. I don't care how hard you think you are. There's no such thing as hard people. They're bluffing people. I don't care how hard you think you are. There's not a person in this room today but what wants to go to heaven when he dies. And if you don't believe there's a heaven, you wish you could believe there's a heaven so you could live forever without the negatives of this life. And so this morning I want you to sit up straight. I want every child to sit up straight. I want every adult to listen carefully. I want to talk to you about salvation, but I want to give it to you in a little different slant, a little different light. I'm speaking this morning on two words, the Son. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning your help. Help me as I speak. And help these dear ones as they listen. May those of us who are saved this morning revel, rejoice in so great salvation that we have. May those who are not saved today find it presented more clearly than ever before, so simple that they'll receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who study the Bible would agree with me that this book is a marvelous book. It is not put together accidentally. For example, I love to preach from Proverbs 3:6, "And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I love to preach from it for several reasons, but one reason is the secret of the Christian life is there. The secret of the Christian life is both man and God. I often say that the first half of that verse, "In all thy ways acknowledge him," that's my part of the Christian life. It's my job to acknowledge him, to honor him, to praise him, to preach him, to love him, to exalt him. The last part of that verse says, "And he shall direct thy paths." That's his job. I'm supposed to honor, I'm supposed to acknowledge him. He directs my paths. But here's what I want you to know this morning. My part is six words, and his part is six words. "In all thy ways acknowledge him," six words. "And he shall direct thy paths," six words. I say the Bible is not an accidental book put together on purpose. Now let me tell you something about John 3:16. The first 12 words in John 3:16 say this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." 12 words. And then it says, "That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." 12 words. And the middle word is the word "son." The middle word is the word "son." The Bible's no accidental book. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." That's God's part. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's my part and your part. And right in the middle of God's part and my part is the Son. Is the Son. That's the way you get from you to God, is the Son. The Son is the bridge between God's part and your part. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," and then "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life." 12 words over here, 12 words over here, and 'tis the Son that spans the gap. 'Tis the Son that God gave, 'tis the Son that you must believe on to have everlasting life. Now I'm going to show you this morning that salvation is in the Son. You see, God could not save us without that middle word, and we could not be saved without that middle word. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Doesn't say he that hath the church hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the Pope hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the priest hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the pastor hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the baptism hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the sacraments hath life. Doesn't say he that hath the communion hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. Now listen to me. If you go to heaven, it's because you have the Son. If you don't have the Son, you go to hell. He that hath the Son hath life. It goes on to say, "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." What's the way to have eternal life? The Son. What's the way not to have eternal life? Not to have the Son. Simple as ABC. It's the Son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life." The bridge that reaches to God and brings God to you and reaches to you and brings you to God is the Son. He who was God and he who was man turns back to God's part, turns forward to man's part, reaches out and takes man like this and God like this and pulls John 3:16 together. In John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I'm going to explain to you after a while what the Son is all about. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Simple as that. Didn't say he that joins the church hath everlasting life. Didn't say he that turns over a new leaf hath everlasting life. Didn't say he was a good neighbor, a good citizen, pays his debts, is honest man, has everlasting life. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That means if you live forever because you believe on the Son, if you don't live forever because you don't believe on the Son. The difference between heaven and hell is not works. The difference between heaven and hell is not church. The difference between heaven and hell is not sacraments. The thing that pulls heaven, the difference between heaven and hell is the Son. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Listen to the rest of that verse. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Hey, the wrath of God abideth on him. What does that mean? He goes to hell. Now, he doesn't go to hell because he curses, though cursing is wrong. He doesn't go to hell because he lies or cheats or steals, though lying and cheating and stealing is wrong. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life,
but the wrath of God abideth on him. You'll never settle the sin question till you settle the Son question. You see, the Son, that's it. That's it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. 12 words over here, 12 words over here, smack dab in the middle is the Son. God said, I'll do my part, you do your part, but the Son's got to do his part, or we'll never get together again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If the world gets saved, how will she get saved? Through the Son. Through the Son. If you get saved, how will you get saved? Through the Son. When you say, my church doesn't believe that, then get in a church that believes the Bible. See? But my preacher doesn't believe that, then he's a false prophet, a liar, and you ought not to be following a hypocrite like that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through the Son might be saved. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Get this now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How can you know you have eternal life? Believe on the Son. It's the Son. Believe on the Son. How do you escape hell? The Son. How do you go to heaven? The Son. How do you have your sins forgiven? The Son. How do you lose the condemnation of your sin? The Son. How do you know you're saved? The Son. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John 4:14. The Father, listen to me, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Who's the Savior of the world? The church? No, the Son. Who's the Savior of the world? The Pope? No, the Son. Who's the Savior of the world? Denomination? No, the Son. I mean, the Mormons can't save you, and the Lutherans can't save you, and the Baptists can't save you, and the Catholics can't save you. The Son saves you. And the pastor can't save you, and the rabbi can't save you, and the priest can't save you, and the Pope can't save you. It's the Son that saves you. He's the God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Not a Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, getting to heaven is like going to Chicago. If you want to, you can take the Chicago bypass, and then you can go up, Cicero, and get to downtown Chicago. Or if you want to, you can go take the Skyway and go the toll Skyway and pay your toll and go in there on Dan Ryan Expressway and go that way. Or if you want to, you can go up this way over to the Calumet Expressway and go up that way and hit the Dan Ryan Expressway. Or if you want to, you could go up the Calumet till you get to Lakeshore Drive and get on Lakeshore. But no matter how you go, you end up in Chicago. There are many ways to Chicago. You said that's the way going to heaven is. Now, that's right for Chicago, but that's not right for heaven. See, Son is the Savior of the world, not a Savior. I am the way, the truth, the life, not a way, a truth, a life. In John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How can you be free from the condemnation of sin? The Son. How can you be free from the condemnation of hell? The Son. How can you be free from the burden of sin? The Son. How can you be free from the slavery of sin? The Son. What's the answer to the sin question? The Son question. You get the sin question right, you'll have to get it right by the Son question. 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. How do you get to know God? Through the Son. Nobody knows God who's wrong on Jesus. Nobody knows God who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it says right here, you deny the Son, you have not the Father. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't know God. And by the way, you don't believe in God. Because the Father will have nothing to do with you if you don't care for His Son. He says, you don't like of my Son, I don't like of you. He says, you turn it down to my Son, I turn it down to you. You reject my Son, now I'll reject you when you stand before me. I'm saying, the whole thing I'm saying, I'm laying a foundation for a truth that's going to help you in a few minutes. It's the Son. It's the Son. The Son shall make you free. He that the Son hath life. He believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He believeth not the Son shall not see God, but the wrath of God, a life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Did you hear that, priest across the street? Did you hear that? Hey, All Saints folks, did you hear that? This life is in His Son. Did you hear it, you Baptist regeneration down here on Holman Avenue, Liberal Lane? Did you hear that? This life is in His Son. People oftentimes say, Hiles thinks his way is the only way. No, I think God's way is the only way. This life is in His Son. Now, I've given you verse after verse this morning showing you that the way to have eternal life is in the Son, and the way not to have eternal life is to reject the Son. Now then, the question is, so far, we've established the fact that eternal life is in the Son, but we haven't discussed what you've got to do to the Son to get it. It's in the Son. Listen carefully. You're going to learn some doctrine. How do we get it from the Son? Do we buy it from the Son? I mean, eternal life is in the Son. That statement could be true, and we could buy it from the Son. Or do we earn it from the Son? Or do we ask for it from the Son? What if life is in the Son? And for God so loved the world that gave His only begotten, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 12 words here. The middle word is the Son. Then what do we have to do to the Son to have everlasting life? And by the way, you better sit up and listen. I mean, where you'll be a million years from now is determined by what you do with what I'm preaching right now. I mean, you're going to go to heaven or hell, whether you like it or not. And whether you believe it or not, you're going to go to heaven or hell. You're going to walk golden streets or burn in the fires of hell forever and ever and ever. But you say, I'm rather cultured. You'll be a cultured person burning in hell. I'm too refined for that. You'll be a refined person burning in hell. Now, how do we get it, the Son? Follow me very carefully. The Father-Son relationship between the first two persons of the Trinity began at Bethlehem. Never dawn on you that nobody in the Old Testament ever prayed a prayer and called God Father? The first prayer in the Bible that calls God Father is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. In the Old Testament, the first person in the Trinity, God, we call God the Father, and the second person in the Trinity, we call God the Son. In the Old Testament, He was not the only begotten of the Father. He was begotten of the Father at Bethlehem. Consequently, the Father-Son relationship between the first two persons of the Trinity began at Bethlehem. Psalm 2:7, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So there was a day when the Father begat the Son. That means that the Son was not always eternally considered the begotten Son of God. In Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So, at Bethlehem, God became flesh, placed the seed in the womb of Mary, and Mary was the mother of the Son of God, and the God Himself, through the Holy Spirit, placed the seed in the womb of Mary, so Jesus had no earthly father. And I want to tell you something right now. The liberal row down here on Holman Avenue, they can talk all about Christmas they want to, but if they don't believe in the virgin birth, they're heretics. They're teaching false prophet, false, they're teaching false doctrine, and they don't know the first thing about Christmas. Christmas is not some little baby came to earth to bring peace. Christmas is the eternal God coming, becoming flesh, the incarnation of the very God of gods, and the Father placed the seed in Mary. And if you don't believe the virgin birth, you're calling my Savior an illegitimate child, and I'd like to punch your puss out. I have no patience with the liberals. None. People call my Savior an illegitimate child and call Mary an adulteress. Have no patience with that. He is the eternal God, born in flesh, virgin born, begotten with the Father. Listen carefully. For 33 years, he dwelt in a body that was begotten with the Father. And for 33 years, and only 33 years, was Jesus the begotten of the Father. So when you talk about begotten Son, it was a 33-year situation. Don't miss it. Upon his resurrection, he received a body that was a heavenly body. And the body that was begotten by the Father in Bethlehem was no longer his body. He tabernacled on earth. He went back. When he rose from the dead, he rose in a glorified body. So as the begotten Son of God, it lasted 33 years. Now follow me. It was what he did in these 33 years that saves you. Listen to me. It was what he did as the Son saves you. You can believe that Jesus lived in heaven forever and die and go to hell. You can believe that he will live forever and die and go to hell. But you've got to believe to go to heaven in what happened between that birth at Bethlehem and that resurrection on Easter morn. Now what happened? Virgin birth. Virgin birth. You don't leave the virgin birth, you're going to hell. Because you don't have the Son. If you don't be the virgin birth, there's no begotten Son. So you can't go to heaven. Because it's a begotten Son that's in the middle of what God did and what we do. 12 words over here, 12 words over here, the Son in the middle, the begotten Son. So if you have no begotten Son, you have no life eternally, because eternal life comes through believing in the begotten Son. What else? Sinless life. I'm saying, listen to me now, sinners, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm saying, by the way, you better listen to me and this Bible instead of some denomination. And for one time in your life, look square in the eyeball what the Bible said and not what your creed says. Okay. It is what you do with the Son. The Son became the begotten Son at Bethlehem. He was no longer the begotten Son in the resurrection body. So between Bethlehem and the resurrection in those 33 years is when Jesus was the begotten Son of God. It is what you do with Jesus, what he did then, that determines whether you go to heaven or hell. What do you do? Virgin born. Number two, lived a sinless life. Look at me. Hey, look at me. Lived a sinless life. If your Savior lived no sinless life, you have no begotten Son. Because when Jesus was begotten of the Father placed the seed there, and from that seed came the blood of Jesus Christ, which was God's blood, in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus begotten the Father, and there was no sin in that blood, so Jesus could not have sinned. He could be tempted to sin, but he couldn't sin. If you don't have that kind of Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. So these imposters, these liberals who go to these seminaries, and that make light of the sinless life of Jesus Christ. You listen to me. If Jesus Christ committed one sin while he was on earth, he was an imposter, he was a liar, and God was not his Father, and he was not the only begotten of the Father. I'm saying to go to heaven, you've got to accept the fact that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. And he lived a perfect life. What else happened between Bethlehem and the resurrection? While Jesus, for that little 33-year hiatus, was the begotten, only begotten Son of God, and lived in a body that was begotten of the Father himself, he went to Calvary and died in your place. He took your place. What else happened? He was buried, and after 72 hours, rose again. Listen carefully. If you go to heaven, you believe on the Son. To believe on the only begotten Son means that that time while He was the only begotten Son, that must be your hope for heaven. During those 33 years on earth, He filled full and fulfilled the law of God. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "A virgin shall conceive," in spite of the fact that the Revised Standard Perversion of the Bible said, "A young woman shall conceive." Well, God said, "A virgin shall conceive." Consequently, He, in that 33 years, became the only begotten of the Father. He became the begotten Son of God. And that's what it means when it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." He that hath the begotten Son. What did the begotten Son do? He came to earth for you. He fulfilled the law for you. He went to Calvary for you. He paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. He rose again for your justification. When He rose, no longer was His body the body that was begotten by the Father. Which means if you go to heaven, now you listen carefully. And that's why some of you people, I get upset with you. You say to your husband or your wife, they go to some liberal church that don't believe the virgin birth. And so you go to his church on Sunday morning and yours on Sunday night. He doesn't go to a church. Place doesn't believe the virgin birth, there's no church. You can put the sign in neon letters if you want to, neon lights if you want to. You can write bold printing outside 6 feet high that says the church, but it's not. It's a synagogue of the devil because God's church believes the virgin birth. Well, that's a what is it? You got to believe on the Son, the only begotten Son. Jesus was begotten by the Father, lived a perfect life, and took your sins and paid for them on the cross. Now, how do you make valid this Son? He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. These things written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have everlasting life. Father sent the Son in the world to be the Savior of the world. How can you apply this sonship to make you go to heaven when you die? You trust what He did in those 33 years as your hope for heaven. It's exactly what you do. Didn't say he that believes on the eternal Father hath everlasting life. Didn't say he believes on the pre-existent Jesus has everlasting life. Didn't say he that believes on the eternal Jesus who will live forever has everlasting life. You've got to put your faith in those what happened in those 33 years. That's when He was the only begotten of the Father. And that's what the Bible means when it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Every Christmas I tell this story. If not nearly every Christmas. I could not preach on John 3:16 without this story. It was in London, England. It was a cold Christmas Eve. Very cold. A little homeless boy shivered as he walked down the streets of London. Pulled his little ragged coat up around his collar. Trembled. He saw the Christmas trees coming from the lights of people that lived in houses he had no house to live in. He heard the singing of carols, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Silent night, holy night, oh come all ye faithful. Hark the herald angels sing, the first Noel by those that lived in houses." He had no house. He peeped in the windows and saw Christmas trees and saw gifts beneath the trees. He pulled his coat up around him and continued walking. It's Christmas Eve. He has no home. He comes to a storefront, a store building that has a little alcove in it, like many of our stores do. He walked back up next to the front door in that alcove to stop the wind from him, and he laid down, shivering, wishing he had a home, wishing he had a daddy, wishing he had a mother, wishing he had a Christmas tree, wishing he had a Christmas day, wishing he had a Christmas dinner. He went off to sleep. He was awakened by
Somebody's shaking him. He looked up and there was a tall, sweet-faced, white-haired man, older man, looking down at him. The old man said, "Son, do you have a place to sleep tonight?" And the boy said, "No, sir." He said, "You have a mom and daddy?" He said, "Not cares for me." He said, "Son, how would you like to have a happy Christmas tomorrow?" The little boy said, "I'd love it." He said, "This is what you do. I want you to go down this street so far. I want you to turn left. You'll come to a street called Mulberry Lane. When you get to Mulberry Lane, I want you to turn right on Mulberry Lane. And I said, you keep on walking down Mulberry Lane until you get to 316 Mulberry Lane. When you get to 316 Mulberry Lane, you walk up to the front door and you knock on the door. An old man will come to the door, white hair. He'll look down and he'll ask you what you want. Now, son, I don't want you to say anything. Don't tell him your name. Don't tell him where you live. Every question you answer with these words. John 3:16. Little boy went down the street, ran as fast as he could, turned left, went down and got to Mulberry Lane, turned right on Mulberry Lane, came to 316 Mulberry Lane, walked up to the front door, knocked on the door as best he could. The door soon opened, an old man came to the door, a white-haired man with a sweet look on his face. The man said, "Son, may I help you?" The little boy looked up and he said, John 3:16. The man said, "What's your name, son?" John 3:16. "Son, what do you want here?" John 3:16. "What right do you have to come in here?" John 3:16. He said, "Come in, son." The little boy walked in. There's a beautiful Christmas tree. They began to sing Christmas carols, and he was a part of it. He had presents to open. They set him down before a sumptuous meal. He never said a word. They'd say, "You want the bread?" John 3:16. "You want some turkey?" John 3:16. "How about some pecan pie?" John 3:16. I'm going to McDonald's after church and say John 3:16. After a while, the party was over and meal was over and presents were all opened and the singing was finished. And the old man said, "Son, are you tired?" He said, John 3:16. "Would you like to get some rest?" John 3:16. "What right do you have to spend the night here?" John 3:16. The old man took him upstairs to a room. There was a bed already made, clean sheets. First time in days, maybe months, the little boy had slept in the bed of his home. The fellow said, "But first, son, let me give you some pajamas." The boy said, John 3:16. The boy put some pajamas on, crawled in bed, pulled the cover up around him. And a tear moistened his pillow as he said, "Think, all of this because of John 3:16. When I face the Lord Jesus, no doubt somebody will say, you have a right to come in here. I'll say, John 3:16. What right do you have to go to heaven? John 3:16. What right do you have not to go to hell? John 3:16. But don't forget that right smack dab in the middle of John 3:16 is one word. Son. 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 What you do with him, what you do with him, determines whether you go to heaven or not. You say, "Well, what do you mean, what I do with him?" You rely upon him to take you to heaven. Right this minute, you just say in your heart, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I know I deserve to go to hell and I can't save myself, but you can. And I do this moment rely upon you to take me to heaven, just like I trusted the pilot to get me to get me to Birmingham, Alabama." And God will make you his child. Because over here you have the provisions that God has made. Over here you have what you must do and what you may have. And right in the middle, spanning the 12 words on the left and the 12 words on the right. Son. 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 The Son. The Son. The Son. Our Heavenly Father. I don't know how to make it any clearer than this.